You're listening to episode 4061 of Grow Great, the podcast. Today it's a client phone conversation. Yeah, it is. My side of the conversation. I don't do this very often, but occasionally, I don't know, something will come over me. And as the conversation starts, I'm like, yeah, do you mind if I record my side of this deal? I have this intuition that something good might come out of it. Today, the subjects are selling, manipulation, the importance of a customer base. There's a few other things scattered in there, but those are the highlights. Those are the main points, and we're going to do it. Well, we're going to do it just right away. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. Glad that you clicked play. This was a 90-minute conversation. No, you're not going to hear 90 minutes, but you're going to hear a good 45. My side of the conversation, the reason was because we were discussing sales philosophy, and this was very early on, got into this whole sales philosophy about being transactional, being transaction-driven, and how that might impact strategy and execution and well, frankly, building a business to get to a higher place. There are some highlights of this conversation that before I play it, I'll go ahead and give you some forewarning so that you can decide if you even want to listen to this or not. And I do realize that many of you listen at 1.5 to 2 times speed, which suits me fine since I am from this part of the country. I'm not a real fast back east kind of a talker. Here are some of the highlights and some key points, and there are many others, but I'm just going to give you a few. Don't lean toward manipulation. Instead, serve. Lean toward service. I also make an argument that being transaction-oriented and going for short-term profit is not as good of a play, in my judgment, as going for the long haul. We also talked a little bit about manipulation and how I know business owners who do go all in and try to manipulate. That is, they have the idea. They know exactly what they're going to sell you before you even contact them or before they contact you. I've always been fascinated by this, but there's an awful lot of businesses that operate that way. Trust me, I know. And It just so doesn't put the need or the want of the customer ahead of the need or the want of the business, and I think it's a mistake. I also make an argument that we can pay attention to behavior, to the customer's behavior, or we can really try to change that behavior. My argument is it's smarter and wiser and more profitable to pay attention to how customers behave and then react accordingly. And I know a lot of people, and we don't talk about it in this conversation, but I have many conversations about being reactionary versus being proactive. And I think that's just hoo-ha. I think there's a lot of people that have just bought into this semantic argument of, oh, well, we need to be proactive. I think that you can be a stellar business and a really spectacular business person if you can learn to be crazy reactionary. If you react to the market, you react to the needs of the customer, you're going to win. You're going to win. There clearly is in this conversation a big focal point about just doing right by the customer. We talk a little bit about quality, and I'm going to argue be good, improve, but you know, make your offer, your product, your thing, make it as good as you can make it, but don't confuse yourself by thinking, well, I'll just build a better mousetrap and my engineering and my quality and my whatever, that's going to overcome all my sales challenges. No, it won't. There have been a lot of spectacular products that have failed been a lot of spectacular offerings that have failed. Maybe one of the more valuable parts of this conversation, at least I think, and I did listen to it afterwards, visibility precedes understanding. If you don't get visibility, you don't get sales. If you don't have visibility, you don't get business. If you don't get visibility, you're nothing. It's true in creative areas. It's true in business areas. It's true in everything. Visibility precedes understanding, but after understanding, that is, I got to know you exist and I got to know what are you doing? What are you offering me? What are you trying to sell me? But those two things aren't going to get you the sale because you really have got to have the third one. And the third one is appreciation. Without appreciation, no sale, no sale at all. Are you a car guy? Some people are and some people aren't. People that aren't car people, they don't care. They are not going to have an appreciation for a BMW over a Ford because they don't care. They don't appreciate the difference and they're not going to pay for the difference. You can talk till the cows come home. It ain't going to matter. You have to get known or have visibility first, and then you have to teach or show people so they can know what you're offering. That is, they have to understand it. But that does not mean that they're going to see the value. That is, have an appreciation. So you really got to have all three. We talk about long-term thinking and how that fosters long-term behavior. It impacts every facet of your business. And by doing the right thing now, you can build experience and frankly, I think a higher determination to keep on doing the right thing. I also talk about the competitive edge is patience for the long-term outcome. And I know it's hard and I know it's crazy difficult and I know it requires intense focus and discipline, but boy, is it the way to go if you can and if you choose to. Sometimes I do make an argument and I do believe this. I think sometimes business owners go for the short term because there's just a lack of optimism and it causes people to just take a short term payoff when patience could really play to their favor. I do talk about the Bula Network Owners Alliance and how I'm approaching selling this. And I use that to illustrate all of the above points. And I think it's going to be valuable. I know it's going to be valuable to people who are struggling, especially struggling with sales quandaries, which was really the genesis of this phone call. Too many business owners focus solely on the first of what I call the trifecta of business building, getting new customers. Nearly every business owner, nearly every business you talk to, we need to get new customers. We need the sales driven. I get it. I understand it. The problem is too few people give any attention to the second one, serving existing customers better. And that explains why so many are suffering defeat on that third one. Not going crazy in the process. We get a customer. We get their money. Hey, life's good. Next. Get another new customer and another new. Meanwhile, and this is kind of the apex of the conversation, once we get the customer's money, we tend to neglect them. And I just don't get it. Because customer base is everything. And that really is the apex of the conversation. Customer base. Every business needs a rock solid customer base. You can't sell your way out of a problem by merely being transactional. And sometimes it's a motivation problem in that business owners are driven more by their own need than the need of their customer. I get it. I get the fact that you need to make a sale and you need to make a sale today, but your customer doesn't care and the market doesn't care and nor should they. And I'm also going to put in the show notes because at some point in this conversation, I don't remember exactly where, but I was talking about how customers can say different things about us, and I even quote Jeffrey Gittimer, famed sales trainer, and I've followed Jeffrey for 30 years, and I love his stuff. But he's the one who said customers can say one of three things about you. something good, nothing, or something bad. And it's your choice. It's your choice what they say. And in talking about that in today's internet world, I mentioned that the average, I don't know what the average person on Twitter has. You know, I guess maybe they got a few hundred. Well, I looked it up after, preparing for today's show. I did a little bit of research. I had not done the research when I was having this phone conversation, obviously. I just guessed a few hundred. Well, it turns out 208. Okay, not bad. I also said on LinkedIn, you know, that the average person's got, I don't know what, 500 connections. Turns out I was real light on that one. The average person on LinkedIn has 930 connections. So think of that, 208 Twitter followers, 930 LinkedIn connections, and let's assume that there's overlap there. So let's call it 900 people. So you go hack somebody off, they could potentially tell 900 people. And if it goes viral, like it has with some recent airline problems, well, the whole world could hear about it. So anyway, there's that. Again, it's about a 45 minute, so this is going to be a little longer than normal, but you can fast forward through stuff, and I think you'll find some value in this. If you are interested in sales and you're interested in the conversation about selling versus manipulation, and if you really care about your customer and you really want to take your business to the next level, I think you're going to get value from at least my side of the conversation. I hope you do. And we'll come back and we'll put a bow on it at the end of this.
Listen, very early in my career, and of course my roots are retailing. And so when it comes to buying, merchandising, and selling, there was a real prevailing mode that retail operated from, particularly in the early and mid-70s, and that was to manipulate the shopper, manipulate the customer. I can't tell you how many business owners over the course of my career, especially early on, that I would hear give sales staff's instruction. The minute they walk in the door, you've got to know what you're going to sell them. I mean, it was all about control and manipulation of the shopper. And so for today, for us to look at retail and to see the disruption in retail, I'm like, yeah, bring it. Love it. And my roots are brick and mortar retail, small business retail. And you can spend your time trying to manipulate customer behavior, or you can spend your time trying to predict that customer behavior and go with it. The problem with the former is, okay, let's say you succeed. You win. You win the game of manipulating the customer. You're only going to do it once. But if you succeed in predicting their behavior, you can win over and over and over and over again. Manipulation is a short-term play. And so many people are playing for the short-term play. They're playing for the sales today. Okay, well, what about the sales tomorrow? And we used to comment that if a shopper had a bad experience, if a customer came in a store and they had a bad experience, then they might tell 7 people. I mean, that was back in the day when you would tell a neighbor, you would tell friends, you would tell people that you saw socially, you'd tell other parents at school, you'd tell the folks at church. That number is enormous today. I mean, the average Joe probably has a Twitter following of a couple of hundred people. The average person on LinkedIn, I don't know what they've got, I'm guessing here. I mean, they've got to have 500 connections, not to mention all the people that you know on Facebook. I mean, the social media platform gives you the ability, when you have a bad experience, all you got to do is look at all the video that has plagued the airline industry. I mean, so now the whole world can know when you've really made a boneheaded move, and bad experiences just get magnified. I love it. I about time is what I say. I think the power should go to the people that are going to be in it for the long haul. I think the short-term players need to go away. I think the quicker they die, the better. And that doesn't matter if that's in brick-and-mortar retail or e-commerce or any other space, manufacturing, I don't care what it is. The short-term players, the quicker we get rid of them, the better. The better for everybody. The better for the industries. The better for the customer. Better for the economy. And it's coming. It's always coming. Corrections are always going to happen. So I just can't get too, I can't get too worked up over people that think strategy equals manipulation. That we're going to sit in some lofty conference room and we're going to put our brain power together and we're going to think of ways that we can manipulate the customer or the prospect to do what we want them to do, as opposed to let's see what they're going to do. Let's pre-think what they may do, what we think they may do, and maybe even try to analyze why this? Why might they do this? And now let's be congruent with that. And I get that not everybody wants to do it. And I realize that there are some exceptions in the sense that there are technologies out there that have never existed before. So what I'm not saying is I'm not saying just give customers what they want, because I do know for a fact, in standing toe-to-toe with so many shoppers and so many customers over the course of my career, there are so many people, they don't know what they want. They may think they know what they want, and sometimes it takes conversation to figure that out and to help them. But manipulation, I'm just helping myself. When I'm serving, I'm truly trying to help them get what they want. And I'm agnostic as to what they want. I don't care. It was education. It was teaching. It was teaching. And I'm a firm believer that teaching sells. And I think teaching sells is because you're informing people. You're informing people. And I'm not talking about embellishment. I'm not talking about manipulation. I'm not talking about coercion. I mean, the difference in manipulation and persuasion and influence, in my opinion, is manipulation, if I'm doing the manipulating, I win, you lose. And in persuasion or influence, we both win. I'm trying to persuade you and influence you for something that, at least in my judgment and in my honest opinion, is the best choice for you. And it's up to you to decide that. It's your money. It's your wallet. It's your decision. But it's not going to preclude me from trying to influence you to make what I think is your best decision. I could be wrong. But the more we talk, and the more you say to me, and the more I educate you on what I know, with the assumption that I know more than you do, right? So we go seeking expert advice. We go talk to people who we believe, well, they know something more about this particular thing than I do. I mean, I get calls and emails, not a ton, but pretty regularly about podcasting, because I've been a podcaster for a long time. Why are people asking me? Well, they're asking me because I've been doing it. I've been doing it. I'm not putting myself out there as an expert at it, but they know I've been doing it, and they know I've been doing it for a long time. And so sometimes people will ask me, hey, I've been thinking about a podcast. What do you think? So it's not like we're just soliciting a rube to tell us, hey, I'm not going to go ask somebody who's never podcasted before, hey, what do you think I ought to do? How do you think I ought to set up a podcast? Well, I don't know. Same thing when it comes, whether it's any kind of, and of course we're talking about selling, but isn't that really all it is? I mean, it's being inquisitive. It's finding out what the person needs. So when a person like that gets a hold of me, first thing I'm going to ask is, you know, have you ever recorded anything, audio or video, and put it online? And most of the time the answer is no. I mean, you've got to start where they are. So I could dive into a starting place that's, you know, five steps in and they're lost. I gotta go back to real basic stuff that maybe even I have kind of forgotten because I've been doing it for so long. A lot of stuff's just kind of on autopilot for me mentally. So I got to rethink this and get to where you are and where you're coming from if you're the person who's contacted me about starting a podcast and you know nothing. And some of these people don't even have a website. So you're really at the foundation level. Well, it's no different in any sales thing. You're going to have prospects that are going to come to you and they are at square one. And some are going to come to you and they're a few squares in. And some may be pretty far down the road, right? It depends on them and it depends on when they're interacting with you in the process. Maybe they've talked to half a dozen other people about podcasting by the time they call me. Most haven't, but it's possible they could. That's going to be a very different conversation. I'm just always going to push against being transactional. And given that my roots were retail and transactions mattered, sales every day, sales per hour matter, and you would think, well, a guy like me would be very transactional. No, I'm just the opposite. I'm so not transactional. I'm not going to look at a transaction and go, well, this transaction's got to be garnering this much profit. And if it isn't, bad transactions. There are no bad transactions if they're done above board and with complete honesty. And we're absolutely positively doing our dead level best to serve the customer. And yes, sometimes that even includes protecting the customer. I mean, I can't tell you how many times there's a great scene in on the Ruthless People. You know, Judge Reinhold is the hi-fi salesman, and there's a kid comes in, and it's a popular, especially it was a real popular scene among hi-fi sales guys, and I'm not going to talk about the one that everybody comments on, where he talks about speakers being so big that, you know, he drops an F-bomb and you can bury yourself in them. But it's the one where he's showing the kid these huge speakers, and right, he's going for the throat close, man. I mean, he's trying to sell the most elaborate, biggest, most expensive thing. And up walks a young lady, and she's eight and a half months pregnant. And he realizes this isn't good for this kid. And he says, here, let me show you something. Let me show you some speakers that are killer. They won't break the bank. You know, he does right by the shopper. That's the story. And I think there's great value in that. And increasingly in today's world, the great thing is there was great value in that in 1972. There's big, 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 big value in that in 2017. Because people talk. People talk. And I love the quote by Jeffrey Gettemer, you know, famed sales trainer. People can say one of three things about you, something good, nothing, or something bad. And it's up to you. And that's never been more right than now. And it's only going to continue to magnify and escalate because the scope of our influence as individual people, the number of people that we can tell, is vastly bigger than it's ever been because of the internet and because of social media, because we're communicating with a lot of people. So I think you got to get into a mindset of, what does the customer want? What are they going to want not only today, but what are they going to want tomorrow? And then try to get ahead of that curve and there's clearly some betting that has to go on. You're not going to always get it right, but you don't have to always get it right. It's a little bit like you hear detectives and police talk about a fugitive on the run. That fugitive has got to be lucky all the time. The cops just have to get lucky once. If they get lucky once, they're going to catch the guy. They just need one break. And I feel similarly when we're talking about selling with manipulation and selling with a transactional frame of mind versus let's look for the long haul, let's do what's right by the customer, let's really dazzle and make it a remarkable experience, and let's do everything we can to earn their trust and to maintain and keep their trust. Okay, we can try to predict what they're going to do and work toward that, and maybe we don't always get it right, but if that's where your heart's at and that's where your energy is put, you're going to get close. And close is good enough sometimes. And if you do get it wrong, you're going to be able to afford to get it wrong. It's not going to cost you like it cost the fugitive to get it wrong once and bam, okay, well, we're done. And then when you do get it right, you can really, really, really get it right. Listen, I was the guy in 1982. I remember standing in front of a sales staff and telling them, welcome to 1982, when saying please and thank you and sir and ma'am is a competitive advantage. 1982, you kidding me? Well, in 2017, it's still a competitive advantage. So, yeah, there's some smart people out there. There's some bright people out there. There's some good operators out there. But there's an awful lot of people that are absolutely colossal idiots. And I think for us to think, well, we got to be that much smarter. No, we've got to work that much harder. We got to work that much harder, and we got to make sure that we're coming from a perspective that's got the customer's best interest at heart. And if we have the customer's best interest at heart, now listen, this all presupposes that we've got quality behind us. You're not going to go out there and sell crap or crappy products or provide crappy service and, you know, put a bow on it and dazzle people. You might be able to do that once. But again, okay, now you're transactional again, so it doesn't work. But if we make sure that our offer, whatever it may be, is absolutely positively killer, 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 and as good as we can get it, I think that you can spend so much time on that that you forego spending time with the customer and what the customer's thinking and what the customer's feeling. And I think empathy is a big, big deal, and I think you need to give it more credence. I think you need to give it more conversation. You need to think about it more. You need to talk about it more. It needs to be interwoven in through your culture, because if you don't, you're not going to dazzle the world with a better mousetrap. You need a good mousetrap. You don't have to have the best mousetrap. You know, you don't have to have the titanium version of the mousetrap. You know, a gold standard will do. There can be platinum and there can be titanium above that. It's got to be good. It's trite and overused, but I'll use it. You know, McDonald's does not have the world's best hamburger. Some could argue it's not even a decent hamburger. But I can tell you what it is. It's predictable. You walk in a McDonald's in London, you walk in McDonald's in Dallas, you walk in a McDonald's in San Diego, you know what you're going to get. They're not going to surprise you unpleasantly. They're going to surprise you with predictability. They built their business on predictability. Here's the menu. You know what the menu is. You know what you're going to order. You've ordered it before, presumably. It's going to be just like it always has been. That's their deal. That's their deal. but it's not going to cost what a gourmet hamburger is going to cost either. You're not going to go and pay $15 for a Big Mac or whatever burger they've got. So, well, I think you can get so fixated on our stuff's got to be better, got to be better. And I'm not saying not to continue to work on improving the offerings. I'm just saying to think that that's going to garner sales increases, I think is wrongheaded. It won't. It won't. There's a lot of stuff out there that's world class that's struggling. So if just being the absolute killer best got the job done, because, well, you still got a number of challenges, not least of which is visibility. People got to know about it. And number two is understandability. I got to be able to understand the difference. And number three is appreciation. Okay, so if I've got a $500 barbecue grill in my backyard and somebody else has got a $2,500 one, I'm thinking there's $2,000 difference that there's no way I'd spend $2,000 difference. Okay, then there's no appreciation for the $2,000 retail difference. But somewhere, somebody is going to have an appreciation. So you've got to have the visibility, you got to have the understanding, and you got to have the appreciation. So there's a ton of stuff, obviously, when it comes to the whole sales thing that has to be handled. Professional services, let's just take what I do, and let's just take this whole notion of this owner's alliance that you and I briefly talked about. And it's something that I'm kind of shoving all my chips in the middle of the table to make happen. Well, here's the sales problem. The sales problem is it's not right for everybody. It's valuable for everybody and anybody, but only a certain type of person who's going to be wired for it is it going to impact. I did a podcast just the other day, and I talked about a conversation that I had a long time ago with somebody, and I don't know why this was something that leapt to my mind while I was recording, but it did. And there is an association, there is a support group for parents of murdered children. And you think about this, and you think about parents of murdered children, and it's like they don't have enough pain in their life that they're going to go join a group and they're going to listen to other stories of parents who've lost kids to violent crime? Nah, I don't think so. Well, yeah. Does every parent in America of a murdered child participate with that organization? The answer is no. I'm betting that the answer is most don't. But some do. And the ones who do get enormous benefit from it. Could all the others? They could, but they don't want to. And now we're back to customer behavior. Why? Well, you can wrestle with that all day long. Well, we need to talk them into it. We need to persuade them. We need to manipulate them so that they understand there's value. You know, but some people, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear other people talk about it. They can hear story after story of how cathartic it is and how great it is to realize that you're sitting in among a group of people who all have experienced what you have experienced. They all get it. Are you kidding me? There's nobody else on the planet that you can go to and that you can talk to because they don't understand. Oh, they say they do. They say they're sorry. They express their sympathy, but we can't really shell it down with them because they haven't been where we are. But we could go to this group, this support group. Everybody in the circle is a parent of a child who was murdered. These are my people. They get me. okay, spend all of your time trying to talk to people that won't go to such a group, won't participate in such a group. Spend your time trying to get them, or just understand and have enough empathy to know they don't want to. That's cool. Be happy for them. Be happy for them. Not every small business owner is going to understand the power of being in a group with six other business owners and me facilitating a meeting and looking around the room realizing this isn't like talking to my husband. This isn't like talking to my wife. This isn't like talking to the friends that I've got. This isn't like talking to my buddies. These are people who are fighting the same fight I'm fighting. These are people who are chasing the same dreams I'm chasing. These are people who are operating and putting in the work just like I am. These are my people. Is there value in that? Of course there's value in that. There's value in that to anybody who's a small business owner. But some aren't going to see it. And you know what? I'm going to spend not 5 seconds trying to get somebody to see what they don't want to see. Because I've got enough care about them and enough concern for them and enough empathy for them that if they choose to not roll that way, I respect that. And because it doesn't feed into what my desired outcome is of no consequence to me. How can it be? Am I going to be transaction-oriented or am I in it for the long haul? I'm not trying to talk you into something that you don't want to do. Now, sometimes I'll get somebody, it won't immediately resonate because it's just so out of the norm. They've never thought about it before. They've never considered being part of a group of other like-minded people who are pursuing the same thing. It's just not been on their radar. And so they've got questions. I'm happy to entertain those. I'm empathetic to that position. I'm empathetic that that's where they're at. That's fine. I'll invest all the time in the world that they want. Now, I'm like any other sales guy. Maybes kind of suck. I'm looking for a yes or a no as quickly as I can get it, but I'm empathetic to the person who doesn't understand it yet because they've not been exposed to it. They've not thought about it. And I think it's the same in any kind of a sales situation. We can spend our time trying to manipulate people and trying to talk people into things, or we can just say next, move on. I haven't seen a market yet, and I don't think there is one, that is so stinking small that you have to lean more toward manipulating the market to try to talk people into something because there's just not a big enough pool of people out there who may want it if you just made it your life's work. I got to reach the right people. I just have to reach the right people. With this alliance, my firm conviction is I just have to reach the right people. And right now, I'm just looking for 14. I'm looking for two groups of seven. I'm looking to reach 14. You tell me in all of North America that I can't reach 14 people who will see the value more quickly than not, understand the value, and say, I'm in. There are. So now what's the job? Is the job to manipulate the people that I talk to? Or is the job to just find the people who see the value? The job is to find the people who see the value. And the ones who don't, but are interested, to give them more information so they can understand the value and then make their own determination. Am I going to spend all of my time with that group? No. But I'm going to spend some time. I mean, I'm not going to take hours and hours in a phone call, but I'll answer questions. I'll keep moving the conversation forward. As long as you're interested, I'll keep answering questions. We'll keep talking. Because I know that somewhere down the path, you're going to come to the crossroads. And the crossroads is going to be, okay, I'm in. I see the value. Or it's going to be, you know, I'm just really not seeing it. Okay, great. Now we got to the yes, no, and it's good, right? And now you made a no answer. If that was your answer, you made a no answer, but it's an informed no. Well, that's better than just blowing it off and not listening. And at least now you know there is such a thing. And guess what? You might change your mind. There may come a day when you're thinking, crap, this is lonely. I remember a guy talked to me about a year ago about a group. Listen, I've had that happen. I've had people call me that I hadn't talked to in a long time and said, you know, I was thinking about you, and I was thinking about, man, I could use this and that. And you're like, it comes out of the blue. Why? Because somewhere along the line, you invested a little bit of time to just help them understand. And now they're to the point where they have an appreciation. They didn't have the appreciation back then, but now they've got understanding. They got experience with you. Now they have an appreciation that they didn't have before. I just don't see how you lose in going in on long term. I think when you go in on long term, it forces your behavior to be congruent with who you really are and your principles, and you behave in such a way that fosters not only success for tomorrow, but success for today. You can't sit there and say, well, 10 years from now, I'm going to do the right thing. But between now and then, I'm going to be a scoundrel. It doesn't work. Nobody does that. I'm going to do the right thing 10 years from now. And that means between now and then, I'm going to have 10 more years of making wise choices and doing the right thing. And I'm just going to be more rock solid 10 years from now than I am today in doing the right thing. To be that uncompromising and that unwavering, I think, is an enormous competitive edge, because so many people are willing to sell out today thinking, I'll get it. I'll do what's right tomorrow. Today, I got to take the money and run. Why? Why take the money and run when you know it's not the good long-term play? I mean, I think it's both. I think it's greed. I think it's greed and impatience. You know, I think people, and I don't think enough people have faith that tomorrow. I don't think there's enough optimism, to be candid. I don't think people are optimistic that it will be better tomorrow, and I am. I'm optimistic that if the earth stands and we can keep doing our work, we're going to get better. I'm sitting here today trying to do this alliance thing, and I'm just now to the point where I'm going to start making some invitations to a few people, but I'm nowhere close to having 14 people, but I'm patient. Me being at the helm of two groups of seven is 14 business owners. There's 14 business owners out there that I'm fully, fully confident and convinced we're going to rock each other's world. There are 14 business owners out there in North America whose lives are going to be forever changed in a positive way once I get this thing rolling. And if I don't get this going, then there's 14 people whose lives may never be changed as positively as they could be. That's a big driver. And when you face life with that kind of optimism and that kind of confidence that this is going to be that life-changing for 14 people, and those 14 people aren't just 14 people, they've each got families. They've each got employees. Those employees have families. They've each got customers, and those customers have families. And they've got suppliers, and those suppliers have families. There are hundreds of people that are impacted when a business owner behaves a certain way. There just are. It's just how it works. Ripple effect, butterfly effect, call it anything you want. Well, when you're facing it, you know, when you're facing the future with that kind of an outlook, that's very different than, I sure hope this works, and, you know, I sure could use the money, and I sure, you know, the universe doesn't care about your need for a customer, your need for money. The universe and the market don't care about your need for profitability. That's up to you. It's up to you to provide the profit. It's up to you to generate the revenues. It's up to you to provide enough value for the market to positively respond to you. What we're talking about is, how are you going to provide that value? Are you really going to think, and you don't, and I know this, but I'm being rhetorical, are you really going to think that the value is in my ability to manipulate people to do what I want them to do because that's in my best interest? Or is the value in, I'm going to sacrifice whatever must be sacrificed if that's in the best interest of my customer, because I want this customer for as long as I can keep them. As long as I can provide value to this customer, I want their business. And everything I'm going to do is going to be congruent with that. That's a whole different way of operating. It's a whole different way of leading your people. It's a whole different way of managing the workflow and the processes. Listen, I talk to so many business owners who are so focused on, you know, my trifecta of business building. The first one, getting new customers. Need new customers. We need new business, new business, new business, new business. I can't tell you how many times I've asked, and I almost always ask, what's the database of your existing customers look like? And I can get numbers that range from under 100 to thousands and thousands. And I can say, what does this look like? What does this communication look like? What does this relationship with existing customers look like? What does your execution, delivery of your product, delivery of your service, what does that currently look like? And it's deer in headlights. They don't. I got to get new customers. The name of the game is sales. I believe that sales overcomes a multitude of problems. There's no question. You know, sales is the lifeblood, but to just be getting new customers in the top end of the funnel and to be hacking them off through the process, I don't understand. I don't understand why any business person thinks that that's smart. As hard as we have to work to get a new customer, as costly as new customer acquisition is for most businesses, and it is, I don't understand why once they say yes, we don't move heaven and earth to dazzle them. And then once we've got their money, and once we've made the delivery, and once we've given them the deliverables, that we now don't continue to check in blows my mind. I've talked to service professionals who have got clients that they've had for years and years, and they can go more than a year and not have any communication with them. That's inexcusable to me, especially in this day and age. But it's inexcusable in any day and age. But in an internet age, it's shameful. Shameful. You can't email these people. You can't pick up a phone and call these people. You can't send these people a postcard. I mean, you just zero communication. It's like, I got your money. You know, I got what I needed out of this relationship. Hope it was good for you. That's a bad business model. But again, it speaks to the tone of this whole conversation of being short-sighted, short-term, transactional versus I'm going to be patient. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to do what I have to do today. Because here's the crux of this whole thing. And it's customer base. Customer base. The foundation of your business, the foundation of every business, is a rock solid customer base. And you start chipping away at your customer base, you're done. You're done. I mean, you don't live around here, but you know, here in North Texas, there's a ton of foundation repair companies because the soil here can be pretty unstable. And with the extreme heat in the summer and dryness in the summer and rain in the spring, you know, the soil's constantly contracting and expanding, and countless homes built correctly can have foundation issues. Well, if they go untreated, bad news. You know, a crack in your foundation and you don't treat that, you're risking your entire house. And so these companies exist to drive peers down to bedrock and shore up your foundation. So many businesses need a foundation repair, but they're too stupid to know it. They're not paying attention. They're chipping away at their foundation, which is their customer base, because they're hacking people off. I mean, look at what's happened with the airlines just in the last few weeks. I mean, there's a reason that Southwest Airlines here in the Dallas area has done so well, not least of which is, yeah, they arbitrage their fuel costs, and they have for years, but they get it. They're empathetic. Back when I flew them a whole lot, you know, they were the company plane. Well, they were the company plane. They were the company plane. We, you know, it was business travelers. It was people flying from Oklahoma City to Houston, Dallas to Houston, Houston to Dallas, Houston to Oklahoma City. I mean, it was kind of this regional thing that obviously has grown through the years, but they were very empathetic to who their customer was. And largely they still are. It's a commodity kind of a thing. And yet, you know, they're stewardesses, they had fun, they cut up, they were kind of irreverent and comical, and they didn't take themselves that seriously. They took their service very seriously, because come on, they're flying with us. I mean, we're putting our lives in their hands. But they saw down the road. They weren't just playing to play for today. They were playing for tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And I think when business owners, when we can get our minds focused on, I get that there's needs today. Every business has needs today. But you and I both know, and you've been at this a long time as I have, our desperation for a customer today is not going to get us a customer. Your desperation is not going to make somebody want to buy from you. Instead, your integrity and your DNA, that no matter what my needs are, your needs come before mine. That gets you the customer. That gets you the customer every single time. And it gets you the customer today, and it gets you the customer tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, and a year from the day after tomorrow. And I think that's the power. And I think if you interweave that in the fabric, it changes how you hire. It changes how you process, how you manage the processes and the workflow, how you create those things. It changes the strategy, changes everything. And I think it changes everything for the better. I bet my career on it and won doing it. Operating in the most viciously competitive space on the planet, brick and mortar retail. So I know it works. I've proven that it works. And I just don't see a downside in trusting it and trying it versus thinking, I got to be one step ahead. I got to be more clever. I think people need to quit being clever. I think people are out trying to outthink themselves by outthinking the customer. Go with the flow. Give them what they want. Teach them. Visibility, understanding, and appreciation. I mean, those are kind of the bywords for this conversation to hopefully, you know, help you. If I can't get the visibility among small business owners about what I'm doing with this alliance, it ain't going to work. But once I have the visibility, and that visibility can be one-on-one, it can be a business owner who didn't know about it yesterday, but today they do. Okay, that's visibility. Got the visibility. Check the box. Understanding. Well, okay. Now that may mean conversation. It may mean trying to drive them to the page where I explain all of this, and I've got a video and copy, and it tells the story. Okay, that's understanding. It could be me trying to get them on the phone, have a conversation with them and help them understand, what exactly is this? How many CEOs and business owners get these calls from salespeople And we don't even know why they're calling us. And so many of these guys and gals are just so pathetic in their opening salvo. We don't really understand what it is they are going to do for us. They seem all fire on it, but we don't get it. So we don't have the understanding. And we certainly, without visibility and understanding, we don't have any appreciation. I'm not going to appreciate what you can do for me if I don't need it. And if I don't need it, talk till the cows come home. I'm still going to think, I don't need it. Dude, I don't need it. Leave me alone. So, I just think people are trying to push water up a hill. I think people are trying to sell their way out of a problem that is much deeper and more systemic than just a sales problem. I admit there are some sales problems sometimes, but so frequently it really isn't so much a sales problem as it is just people pushing because they have a need that is not congruent with what the customer needs. Too many people are just, they're not thinking about the customer. They're not thinking about the market. They're thinking about what they need the market to do. The market doesn't care what you need. It never has. It never will. So it's just a fool's game to try to push against the market. Listen, come on. Brick and mortar retail. I mean, you're smart enough to know, even though you're not in that space, brick and mortar retailers, they lamented the chain store. They lament Walmart. They lament the clubs coming in. They lament Amazon and e-commerce. And, oh, you know, because so many of them are remembering how it used to be. Listen, it's a great world. It's been disrupted. Build a bridge and get over it. It's not coming back. And who wants it to come back? Well, they do. Well, they're dinosaurs. They're dying. They're extinct. They just don't know it.
Well, there you have it. I hope that was profitable. I want to think that it was. This is how it goes. This is how it goes. Usually I will tell you that there's a lot more questions that I ask. Which is probably why I don't do this very often. I don't record the conversations very often because I do a lot more probing and questions and fleshing things out. And it's good. I tell you what, it's good. It's good for us as business owners to get some thoughts articulated and get them out of our head. And it's really good when we've got a sounding board, which is a huge part of what I do, to serve as a sounding board for people to kind of hear themselves distill these ideas and talk through problems and be challenged. The work, I will tell you, is not kumbaya. The work is not always fun. But if we're going to go to places of growth, sometimes we have to go to some uncomfortable places and we got to deal with it, right? Because these are our businesses, man. We got a lot on the line here. So I'm playing this game for keeps. So I'd love your feedback. Give me some ideas on how this episode impacted you. You like this kind of stuff? You hate this kind of stuff? I'm curious. I'm not saying I'm going to do exactly what you say, but I would like to hear from you. So you can reach me through social media. There's email addresses. There's even phone numbers all over the website. I don't care how you reach me, as long as you do. Thanks for clicking play. I appreciate you very much. Again, Grow Great, growgreat.com. Just go to episode 4061 if you want to see some of the highlights that I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Tell a friend, subscribe, all that other cool stuff. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.